And there are at least five important cities in what is the traditional region of Phrygia, where we have a body of funerary inscriptions put up in stone, which are erected by Christians, there's no doubt. And all of these inscriptions date roughly between, say, 225 A.D. and 300 A.D. That is during the time of the persecutions and certainly before the conversion of Constantine. And they are remarkable documents. Outside of the catacombs, they're the only contemporary documents we have from the Roman world, other than written texts, that tell us anything about Christianity. And what these inscriptions reveal to us is very much the pattern we saw in the letters of Paul. They were discrete communities. There are these links to Judaism. There are people who have a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of standing. They represent pyramids, little family pyramids that have converted. And by the year 250 AD, these would be families who would claim that they'd been converted by Paul or Timothy. And for them, Christianity is an ancestral religion. It's gone back a long way. Now, by the late second century, early third century, there are certain families that have reached the status of decurions, that is, of local magistrates. This is particularly true at the city of Eumenea, where maybe 5% of the town council may have been Christian. And that seems to be an exceptional case. But all of that points very strongly to the fact that these communities were in cities, cities with Jewish connections, linked by the highways, and the mass of the population of Asia Minor in this early period really had very little contact with Christians. This is extremely well seen in the letters of Pliny, Pliny the Younger, who was governor of the provinces of Bithynia and Pontus, that is the Euxine, the Black Sea shore of Asia Minor. Writing to the Emperor Trajan somewhere around 112 or 113 A.D., he's rather curious about a number of issues with Christians. For instance, he wonders, why are we persecuting them? Are they criminals? Or is it simply because of their name, the Nomen Christianum? That is, by being Christians, they are outlawed. Now, if this is a high Roman magistrate, a governor, a man from the highest ranks of Roman society, quite perplexed about the proper procedure or the legal classification of Christians, writing to the emperor to make sure he's following proper judicial procedure, this indicates that as a group, Christians were probably a small minority that attracted very little attention, and for most residents of Asia Minor were probably associated with Jews, and that's why these communities could prosper, because the Jewish communities were in most instances extremely well integrated into civic life. The first Christian scripture records we have outside of the scriptures, outside of the New Testament, come largely from Christian bishops writing in what is now Turkey today. These are extremely important documents of the second and early third century AD, and they open up a world which is the an avenue into the world of early Christian organization, which is the third part of this lecture. Even though Christians were a minority, very, very few in number, closely tied to their Jewish kinsmen and neighbors, nonetheless, they were evolving doctrine and institutions that in the long run would prove decisive and would be extremely important in that cultural and religious rewrite of the landscape of Asia Minor. Because those institutions and those doctrines became the basis of the Christian church recognized by the Roman Empire, Roman Emperor, and used as the basis of his imperial church. And foremost, we have the writings of a number of bishops, one of them known as Ignatius from the city of Antioch, which is Antakya today in the in ancient times part of Syria, and he's writing letters to Christian communities in Asia Minor. He's being conveyed to Rome to be executed, and yet his letters are being delivered by the Roman Imperial Post. So it's a very curious situation. But this particular bishop, Ignatius, argues that he is the head of his community because he imitates the life of Christ. And that letter is extremely important in revealing that you already have the beginnings of these so-called monarchical bishops who would take control of Christian communities. Later in the second century, we have a great deal of information about a bishop called Polycarp from the city of Smyrna, modern Izmir, who's martyred either in the 150s or the 160s. And by the time you get to Polycarp's bishopric. He is a bishop who rules with some sort of sense of a successor from Jesus, from Peter, this beginning of a notion that bishops are within an apostolic succession. And in those two or three generations, the end of the first century to the beginning, to the middle, to the late second century, the Christian communities in Asia Minor evolved this episcopal organization, this organization based around bishops.